The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, open your Bibles to Jude, verse 20, and your notes. All right, let's take the customary time to check ourselves, to be sure that we're in fellowship and ready to give our undivided attention to the information that God has for us this evening. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the grace that you provide us with in these last days so that we can continue to pursue those things that you have promised to those who are informed and take you seriously. Bless this Bible class to that end in Christ's name. Amen. All right, concluding exhortations for this letter regarding the Christian way of life. But you, beloved, the evocative of the adjective agapetos is the Greek word for dear ones, beloved ones. They are beloved of God first and foremost because, one, they're believers, and two, they are positive believers. And so the human author here describes them with the title. We have a number of titles for believers in the Bible, the elect, and so forth. So this is another designation and awareness of the fact that you and I are the objects of divine love. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Building up. Epoi koeomeo means to build up, used in the same way in those verses. Yourselves, reflexive pronoun. The definite article with the adjective, superlative adjective, dative hagiotate, means most holy. And then the word faith is, of course, pistis, and it is here a synonym, one of the synonyms for Bible doctrine, the content of faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Prosukomai, praying in, preposition, in with hagios, Holy Spirit, pneuma. One. For the second time, Jude calls them beloved. And on each occasion, it is in contrast to the liberal corruptors of Christianity. They are not the beloved of God. God has them in his sights. These believers are beloved because they are believers and because they are positive believers and they are under attack. So God provided those Christians to whom this general epistle was sent to encourage them and keep them on their guard and away from these corruptors who were in that time frame were insinuating themselves, just showing up at events where the Christians were getting together for social fellowship and food. And these clowns would just come in there and start peddling their stuff, big smile on their face, whatever kind of thing. praying. Okay, moving on. Excuse me. The designation beloved refers to their enviable position in God the Father and in the Son, Christ, who is one of his titles, the beloved of God. If you love something, you take care of it. You protect it. You cherish it. You nurture it. And so, Jesus Christ is the beloved of God. We are in Christ, so we have that automatically. pleasing God, glorifying God, that's another matter. Beloved of God. Compare verse 1, verse 3, 17, 2 Peter 1, 17, and all the rest of those verses in 2 Peter and also in 1 Peter. God, one of His attributes, we can be thankful He's got that attribute. He has the attribute of love. God, who is love, has provided everything for their positional and experiential preservation in the angelic conflict. So God loves you, and you are to respond to Him with the same kind of love, and that is, of course, God's expresses His love in various ways. His love for us is greater than our love for Him. But He still loves us and continues to provide for us the necessary grace and information and all the other things that are promised in the Bible to the believer. The divine promises. You're under them. You learn them so you can claim them and relax. He's going to take care of you. He may test you, but He will take care of you. You just stay positive to Bible doctrine. He loves us with the same love that He has for His beloved Son. If we're in Christ and we share everything Christ has, then that's a fact. Now, what He can do for an individual believer from His love depends on the behavior of the individual believer. He will do no less for us as we face the pressures of the conflict. Yes, He's put us in this conflict, this angelic conflict, where we have to contend with three primary enemies. The STA, indwelling. The cosmos at large does not share, have any enthusiasm for our spiritual interests. And the devil. Satan. Those are our primary enemies. Know your enemy. At this juncture, Jude launches into some highly compressed exhortation, which, if followed, would preserve them from contamination by the heretics. They'll be completely protected if they have to run into these people. Now, for us here at Maranatha, in our history, these people have been impersonal. They're out there. We may run across this and that in our life, but they're out there. You may have somebody rise up and try to trip you up spiritually in your normal environment, work environment. You just brush it off. Move on. But they had to deal with these people one-on-one. The difficulties I've had with people aren't the outsiders. I mean, they're out there. And they'd be all glad to try to upset the doctrine. It's been members of the church that went sour. That's where I've had my testing. Believers that knew better and should have stayed put. But they didn't. Over some doctrine or over other issues, which I won't belabor. This is, in fact, the primary purpose of his correspondence. To put his readers on red alert for survival in the face of a potent threat to their spiritual momentum. Believers that get on doctrine will come under some kind of attack from the outside. Almost inevitably. So gear yourself up. Starting with your family members, whoever. Just make it up your mind that you're going to turn away from any attacks on your faith. And your interest in Bible doctrine. A series of injunctions follow. present participles, and aorist imperatives. If implemented, if third class condition, at a reasonable level, you don't have to be perfect, they will ensure deliverance from the corruptors of the faith, which are all over the earth in all kinds of places. Some of them you will never have to ever deal with directly. You may read about something. Especially when people start talking about the Bible and God and Christ, that's when your antenna needs... Oh, he's a Christian. See, okay. He's a Christian. Now what? What's he peddling? What's his doctrinal take on things? Fundies, Christians, they get real excited because someone is simply a believer. I've seen celebrities, politicians, other people who are believers. That doesn't cut any ice beyond a point. Do I expect to hear the divine viewpoint from them? These high and mighty types, they ought to be under face-to-face teaching. You know, I don't care if you're the head of a country. Where do you go to church? Oh, you make a token of visit to some deal? You are as obligated as anyone else. The example could be the great King David. He was not above doctrine. He was all about doctrine. He just happened to have all this power too. So, I don't get excited about it. Oh, he's a Christian. Well, that means he's going to do all the right stuff. No. He's still running amok under his STA. The first imperative, point 12, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, has to do with, of course, the intake of Bible doctrine. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Like a building project, it goes up piece by piece. Until you get to a certain point, and then you're still being built up. We have a word to edify, but this has to do with the intake of Bible doctrine. The verb is accompanied by the reflexive pronoun yourselves, which points to individual responsibility. Others can encourage you. I can teach you, but you got to do your part. Because if you sit here, disinterested, letting your STA evolve and your human viewpoint, when it's shot down, let it be shot down. Throw it away like a dirty rag. Because if you don't, you'll join those who weren't doing that, obviously, at the time that they went south. So that's my kind of warning. I'm not having to deal with you unless a believer was dumb enough to be listening to this mess. Their viewpoint, their ideology, and so forth. So it's individual responsibility. The faith is objective as it is in verse 3, where we have, I'm writing this to you so that you can earnestly contend for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. There's no new stuff being added. See, the false teachers were adding all this new novel junk. This has been going on, theologians coming up with their own ideas and concepts. So again, faith is objective. Faith here is used as one of the synonyms in the Bible for Bible doctrine or the truth. Point 15. 16. The expression, your most holy faith, contains the definite article which carries the notion of the one and only. The one and only. Which that's what we have here at Maranatha Church pursued all these years. We have pursued the content. It's also called, we have the mind / thinking of Christ. What does Jesus think about this? What is his stand on the doctrine of or the concept of? The pronoun your indicates that which is the heritage of positive volition. And I need not to say for the umpteenth time, it's being neglected right and left in the Christian world. There's a bunch of them that are their patriotism is more important to them. They want to mix it with Christianity. And pray for America so it'll get better. It isn't going to get better. It may change its face and persona, but it isn't going to get better. And if that is your deep down hope, you're going to be disappointed and you're on the wrong side of Bible doctrine. The prophets of old didn't come in here and pull punches when they announced that Israel was going to get hammered with the fifth cycle. And they weren't liked for that. Name calling and all the rest of it. Jeremiah especially went under that. You can read in his book the things he suffered as a result of this. Verse 18, the superlative adjective most holy occurs only here and further underscores its source. The source of doctrine is God, who is immutable, who is absolute veracity. And he doesn't alter any doctrine for anybody. The passage of time doesn't make things outdated. It's the same truth. Our external environment and what's around us may have changed through technology and other advancements, but it's the same doctrine. We hold forth the apostolic truth. And the content of the Old Testament, which was written many, many centuries ago, but is still alive and powerful. So, the superlative adjective occurs only here and further underscores its source, a holy God, holy faith, and what it does for those who take it seriously. It sets them apart. It sanctifies them. Phase 2 sanctification, the spiritual growth factor. The foundation of their lives is to be the most holy faith. Not this other stuff. 20, a building is not better than its foundation. Consistent intake of Bible doctrine, as contained in the books and verses of the Bible, and we put this together in categories of doctrine, is what the foundation of our lives is to be made of. All else is sand. All else is vanity. It won't end good. So the rest can pursue whatever they're pursuing, and they'll end up in the same situation, particularly referring to believers. So failure to implement on a serious basis this injunction renders all that follows impotent. Secondly, one of the things you have to have going for you, they should continue praying in fellowship, praying in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells us, and He is a part. I was dealing with a believer, had some questions because out there they had been exposed to the Fundy approach, people they had been around, and individuals and so forth, because these pastors aren't clearing the air on this. And I told them, there is a protocol for prayer. Yes, you have to have the right content in your prayers, but there's a protocol. You don't pray to Jesus You don't pray to the Holy Spirit. You never found Christ praying to the Holy Spirit. If he prayed, he always addressed his Father in heaven, praying from his humanity. So I went over this. I said, those kind of prayers are DOA, dead on arrival. They don't even get off the launching pad. There is a chain of command within the Godhead. And I've explained this under the doctrine of divine essence. All three members are co-equal and co-eternal. But like three equal partners of a business, one doesn't have more authority than the other. But one has this area to cover, and this covers this area, and so forth and so on. So why can't you just follow the Bible? But see, that's it. You got to get cute. You got to pretend like you're more holy than someone else. And you're not. When you're not praying and following, see in the doctrine of prayer, the protocol of prayer. You need to develop a prayer life and continue to cultivate it. You don't have to, if you want to set aside special time, fine. You can pray driving down the road. You can pray wherever you're at. But praying in fellowship is the key. And noting some of the pitfalls related to the topic of prayer. The injunction recalls Paul in Ephesians 6:18. Pray at all times in the Spirit. That's parallel to this. That's what he told people. Pray in fellowship. Don't start praying and being out of fellowship. If you are, rebound, get back, and strive to stay in fellowship. And be sensitive to the leadership of God the Holy Spirit, who can tweak your mind and put things there for you to pray about. Pray about prayer. Bless my prayers. All these things believers fail to do. You got to go to work tomorrow. Offer up a prayer on behalf of your day at work. That you do your job as unto the Lord, and that you glorify Him, and you're there to do your job as unto Him and not as unto men. Prayer in or by the Holy Spirit is one of Paul's great themes. I'm getting it across right. Well, there's a promise for that. You're covered. We have a weakness. We have certain things. How are we going to cover all the bases, everything, and get this? If you send a message off to someone, you expect it, or you receive one, you expect it to be clear and straightforward. So, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. That doesn't mean we ought to just throw our hands up, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The groanings are from the believer who is struggling with something, and they're sighing or groaning, searching for a way to present this under pressure. Don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit will take this and make it a perfect prayer, and add to it what needs to be added. So we have a helper. That's one of his titles, by the way. We have a helper. He's the one that reveals truth to us, and he also functions with regard to the topic within the Godhead of prayer. We open our prayers with Heavenly Father, our Father in heaven. We're in fellowship. All right, we've got a direct line. Help me with this situation I'm under. Or praying for others, intercession for self and others. Rebounds of prayer. Don't forget thanksgiving. Offering up thanksgiving. Being thankful for all the things that God has done for you as a believer and is doing for you currently. You could even thank him for a test you're under. Just give me more wisdom and grace and strength to deal with it, rather than just, you know, complain. It's never going to change. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows the mind of the And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So in the great mystery of prayer and the interrelationship between the three members of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit delivers the prayer. Jesus Christ, as the high priest, intercedes before the Father. That's the process. Go to Galatians 4:6. That's not exactly strikes me as what I want right now. What we got here? Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Abba is the endearment word, like daddy from the Aramaic. Father is the more formal term that a child might use. Anyway, and we may detect the influence of his theology here. Again, a contrast with the heretics is deliberately drawn. They don't even have the Holy Spirit, last night's class. And so they have no prayer. The only prayer they could offer is a prayer of repentance and changing their mind and throwing overboard all this junk and believing in Christ. The adjusted, however, who are constantly building themselves up on doctrinal teaching, enjoy the active presence of God the Holy Spirit, and the visible fruit of this, one of them, is effectual or effective prayer. You want your prayers to count, right? Be sure the content is correct. Ask according to the will of God. Intercede according to the will of God. Those who reject sound doctrine, both in terms of attitude and application, produce only offensive prayers. And the world is full of people praying about things, different religions and so forth. All the Ramadan crowd, billions of people. Proverbs here, 28:9. How can God be glorified through the prayers of someone who is maladjusted to the directive will of God? Okay. Under the Old Testament, what were Jews to do? They were to be taught the law, the Mosaic law. They were to learn the commandments and plug themselves in to whatever they were under this. He who turns away his ear from listening to the law. In other words, rejecting certain things, even his prayer, is an abomination. It's like singing Christian hymns in the Old Testament. You praise me with your lips. You got the right song, but your heart is far from me. That is the deal of many Christians. Because if they were doing the right thing, they'd be under the same doctrine you are. They'd get themselves there. They're not. They're content with this watered-down mishmash that they get in these churches. And you could sit there until you were as old as Methuselah and never have them teach you through this book, that book, and all the rest. They bounce all around, and here it is. You say, well, there's some truth taught. That isn't going to cut it. It's all or nothing. You don't have to learn it all at once, but it's all or nothing. This is the mind of Christ. This is God's plan. This is His Word. So, praying in the Spirit means to pray in fellowship, obviously, and in accordance with the directive will of God. Yes, you can misfire with prayers because you're asking for something and it's from your lust pattern. That's in James. It's not wrong to ask for things. You should. If you need something, you put it before the throne of grace. You desire something even. You put it before the throne of grace. The verse, you have not because you ask not. God, the Holy Spirit, interprets and edits our prayers. Oh, I didn't get so much, so much that goes for prayer today is simply, in the Old Testament, strange incense. The pagans in their temples and so forth, they offered up incense. Incense in the Bible is used as a symbol for prayer. The holy incense that was used in the tabernacle and the temple was a formula of three different aromatic substances. And it was not to be used commercially by individuals to make their home smell good. They could use the products, but not in that combination. Or you were in deep trouble. Put it that way. So every day the priest offered up incense on the incense altar. There were coals down there, and he put this substance on her, and it filled the whole place with this glorious aroma. It was absolutely nose candy. It was great. And they offered it the evening prayer, the morning prayer, and the evening prayer. And then on special occasions. And so the phrase, strange incense. The psalmist does not want his prayer content to be constituted as strange incense. Praying for things in the wrong way, or the wrong things, or all the rest of it. God the Holy Spirit interprets, edits our prayers before the throne of grace, as noted in Romans 8:26, which verse contains a reassuring promise. So keep that one in mind with regard to your prayer. And in conclusion tonight, I want to tell you about something. I got a deal on my phone today. This is what's happening. On an island as a part of the territory of Iran, there's blood rain. And the article explains what the chemical deal is that has turned the water and everything blood red. One. Two. Tomorrow night, Thursday, there will be a blood red moon go over. Sign of war. Third, it occurs on the Feast of Purim. P-U-R-I-M. See Book of Esther, where the Jews were being persecuted by this Haman clown and had set up gallows to start hanging them. And Esther comes to play, a woman. in the mix. For those of you that are at least somewhat familiar with the book. And as a result of the Jews being delivered and Haman hung on his own gallows, the Jews developed another holiday, not authorized under the law, but completely legit, Purim. And I told this person, they sent it to my phone, and I don't have a clue, but others have tried to send stuff from a text message thing, and it doesn't work on my phone. There's a setting, there's something, doesn't matter. I told the person to send it over to my email. And it's an article, and it's all within this context of Trump making noises about bombing Iran's nuclear facilities. I don't know. It's just interesting. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.